course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to a Spanish... Let me start again. I don't know why that came out like that.
Yo hablo español. Me gusta horror.
I think I put together a special edition and it came out Spanish for some reason.
It works enough.
Oh, Lord. Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Listen to Their Screams. I am one of your hosts, Dave, joined as always by our other host, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty fantabulous.
All right, and this bonus episode is because we are going to talk about In Search of Darkness, 1995 to 1999. Going to do a little bit of a review here. This is out now from Creator VC. The digital is on sale for $27.99, or you can get a special double pack with the 1990 to 1994 episode for $34.99. This one alone, the 95 to 99, is over 6 hours long. A celebration of late 90s horror. The digital sale ends on January 26th, so make sure you get yours today. And also, they reached out to let us know that you can also get 20% off at checkout if you put in HorrorFriends26. There's a promo code for those of us who have the screener links who are doing these reviews. And you, as a listener, if you go before that sales up on January 26th, you get 20% off at checkout at HorrorFriends26. So make sure you go to 90shorrordoc.com to download your copy now.
Oh, boy. Yep. And this is an epic. So like you said, 6 hours of just beautiful, beautiful entertainment. But this is actually the fifth installment in the series. We had In Search of Darkness, A Journey into Iconic 80s Horror, as well as In Search of Darkness Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. Completely joking. It is the journey into 80 horror continue. We also had In Search of Darkness Part 3, the final journey into 80s horror, as well as In Search of Darkness 1990 to 1994, a journey into the iconic 90s horror, and then, of course, the one we're talking about today, which is In Search of Darkness 1995 to 1999, journey back into iconic 90s horror. This series is developed and written and directed by David A. Wainer. It is an epic, truly an epic. 6 hours. I mean, that might be a little intimidating to some people, but it flew by. I mean, it really flew by.
It definitely did. I watched it kind of in two chunks, half and half.
Yeah,
that's just the way it worked out for me. And then when I started the second half, I thought, okay, I've got whatever X amount of time left. And then I was watching whatever else, and it's like it felt like it was over. And I was like, "Whoa, that didn't seem that I was that really that long? That didn't seem right." And I thought, "What's going on here?" And I looked, and I'm like, "Oh no, actually, I had been watching for whatever 3 hours, and didn't even realize." And part of it is, and it's the same with all the installments in the series. I've seen them all. I believe I don't know if they still are. Some of them, at least at one time, were on Shudder. Some of the first couple, I don't know if they still are or not. I'm not 100% sure. I know you can get physical copies of everything. I think all the 80s, the three, or I think they actually re-released them into a box set where you get them all and everything. Something that I think I just need to invest in. I want physical copies of these things, because if there is ever just an encyclopedia of horrors, knowledge, and films, and everything else, this is it. I've watched lots of documentaries, and they're great, but this is so in depth and so encompassing. It has obviously hits, and we'll key back in then on the 95 to 99. It keys in obviously on all the big movies that everybody knows, right? The Screams and whatnot, but they hit so many lesser known movies that maybe you haven't heard of, or maybe you had forgotten about. They hit foreign films that maybe you had no clue about. They tell backgrounds on these things. They talk about some of the development of things. And not only do they do it, it's not like just some guy narrating. They are talking to the people involved. It is remarkable the people they get to interview for this, because it seems like everybody is in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I was actually talking to Kayla earlier, and I was kind of explaining, like, how many people were in this film, basically just like big names alone, because there are even people who you've seen in like other projects and that you didn't even realize were in other projects. The biggest example I have of this is years ago, because they talked about The Rage, Carrie 2. Emily Burgle plays the main character in that. She's in Shameless, which is what I know her from. But I mean, literally, it has everybody. You have your John Carpenters, people of that caliber. You have your Emily Burgles, people of that caliber. And it's literally everyone from every literal walk of life. And you also see talks of people like who are historians and people who are, professionals of this era, basically. And like you said, there are a lot of movies that I never even heard of. Like, I like to say that like the late 90s is my favorite time for horror. And I do stand by that. I knew a lot of these movies, but there were some in here that I had no clue about, especially some of the foreign horrors, like the one that was inspired by the Evil Dead. I think it was like the
Yeah.
Weightlifter in Hell or something like that.
So great. He's literally lifting lines.
He literally is, and I want to find that movie now and watch it, because that is probably, if I could pick a movie that probably explains my flavor of horror the best, it would be some shit like that, where it's obviously someone's passion project because they love like Evil Dead, or they love this type of horror, this icon of horror, and they just really put their all into it. Or there was the other foreign film, The Audition, or something like that. That one was kind of weird looking, like, and there's other ones too that I just didn't know about, like J horror. I love J horror, but like, I did not realize that there were so many J horror movies that I did not see. Like, I've seen, Jew on the Grudge, I've seen Ringu, but like, I didn't know that there were all these other like really like crazy J horror movies, and like, I was starting to take notes. I was like, okay, gotta go get this, gotta go find this. But it's insane. It literally is. It's so insane. I was watching this and things would pop up and be like, I had no idea that that existed, which I guess is the beauty of it. Now I need to watch the early 90s one so I can catch more.
And I'm hoping, because I know with the 80s trilogy that they did, they actually put out a PDF checklist of all the movies that were mentioned.
They need to put one out for this.
Yes, and I'm hoping now that this is complete and now it's out there soon, they will release that. Because I literally had the 80s one, and I was, I checked off all the ones I've seen a million times. I thought, I don't need to. But then I was hitting stuff that I hadn't heard, seen, or hadn't seen in a while based on that list. Because again, you either don't know about it or you just forgotten because it's just been so long, and it's not, readily out there, pushed in your face. But I like, I mean, how they do it too, because it's not like it's a necessarily a chronological thing, right? They're just all over. And they use things to lead in the others. Talking about the J-horror, right? They talk about The Ring and things like that. And then they talk about, well, this is where it came from. Oh, no, by the way, there's these and stuff like that. So things, it doesn't, it never, when you watch this, to me, it never gets monotonous. It's
No.
always, even the movies, the big movies, the Scream and whatnot like that, Scream, Scream 2, they talk about those and stuff like that. Where you think, oh, they've been talked about so much. I've seen them a million times. It's still interesting. And it's still, in fact, they had Jamie Kennedy on there talking about in the first Scream that, the scene where Ghostface walks in on him watching the movie with Jamie Lee Curtis on TV. It never dawned on me that he's sitting there, Jamie, he's
Yeah.
behind you. And that's his actual
That's his real
name.
name, yeah.
And then he's sitting there saying Wes Craven's like, oh, Easter egg. And it's like, it's so funny to me that he just thought that was hilarious. And then he talks about that was the only time that Skeet Ulrich put on the costume for the film. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe I had read that or heard that somewhere. I don't know. I didn't recall it. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And the one thing that I love about this, well, here there's two things that really jump out to me. And let's talk about these really quick here. Number one, let's start with this. Everybody in this movie or in this documentary, they're almost brutally, self-deprecatingly honest.
Yes.
There are I don't recall anybody glaringly jumping out and saying, "Oh, this was the greatest thing ever made. We just got overlooked. We were screwed." Now there's lots of We had high hopes. I went into it thinking it was this, it was great. And then it was like, oh, well, maybe it didn't turn out the way we thought, but and then but they're very humble. They're all very, and they're very honest about if there are shortcomings, you know, what it was. It's like, oh, well, we only had so much budget. We had to make decisions. Or, you know, we had the one with, you know, working with Dennis Miller with the one he's talking about how he had such difficulty with Dennis Miller because Dennis Miller walked in first day and, oh, I only work 8 hours a day. He's like, nope, that's wrong. And he's like, I'm never going to be able to remember these lines and this, and I'm just going to add it. Nope, that's wrong. And then he's like, they had all these difficulties. And he's like, on the last, after they wrapped or whatever, Dennis is like, oh, you and your wife need to come up and visit me at this. And he's like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. And it's just, I love those stories and how honest they are. And talking about, you know, any shortcomings or any difficulties or any failures. And most of them are, you know, hey, they take it upon themselves. They're like, oh, you know, I had a thing. Did it. And another one that was brutal. I loved, I don't know what other people think, but I've always wondered again also why they remade Psycho shot for shot.
Oh my God.
And in this, they do that. They're like, wait, why are you given this opportunity? And that's what you decide to do. And you change one thing about it, and it's him masturbating while watching her. And it's like, that's the one creative liberty you took. And it's like, all these people are like, well, he's a great filmmaker. He's got a great vision. But why did you do this? They're all just like flabbergasted. And I love that because they're literally taking themselves out of their work and looking at it as fans. And, it's great. And I love that. I love the brutal honesty that these guys had in it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those like types of things where they're very self-aware. And that's always been something I've always been really curious about is, are they self-aware of the product they're creating? You know, because obviously you and I, we love our horror with extra cheese. We say that all the time. We love cheesy, goofy, B horror. And it's like sometimes I was always just curious, like, do they know that that's what they're making? And so sometimes it's very interesting, and it's that unique perspective that they are self-aware. But kind of on that same line, and it's kind of talking about how they kind of take themselves out of it and look at it from a fan perspective, but they kind of do it from the other perspective as well, with the that they were talking about the Island of Dr. Moreau,
Yes.
the remake of a remake of a remake of a remake, and it's fucking Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer,
Yes,
and they're
with Val
talking
Kilmer
about.
literally saying he thinks this is when the spirit of Marlon Brando entered him.
Yes, I was
Now,
like, what?
I knew Val Kilmer went through a wacky stage, right? And I've heard that this movie was a mess to make. I've heard that. But I didn't know how far, but I also didn't know that it was so wacky and so crazy. There's a documentary about that. And I'm thinking, oh, I gotta watch that now.
That's what I told that's what I told Kayla. I first of all, I knew that this was a story, right? It's an H.G. Wells story. And then I knew that they made like an old one back in like the 40s or whatever, but I too sure I did not know that they made one in the 90s. But not did I neither did I not know that they made one, but I also did not know that it had Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando, possibly two of the biggest actors of the 80s, 90s, 70s, etc. Well, not Val Kilmer, but Marlon Brando for sure. But Val Kilmer is obviously huge in like the late 80s and 90s. So you have these two powerhouses in this movie that, for lack of a better phrase, I think most people forgot. And not only that, but Val Kilmer was legitimately going through like some kind of weird like psychosis during the filming, which then prompted them to make a documentary, like you said, which is just insane. But like you said earlier, we had people who were from this production who were in this who were being critical of that. They're like, listen, this was a mess, guys.
It is so crazy. Who was it? The one guy, I can't remember what he did, that they fired, and then they said he put on one of the extra creature suits and snuck back on the set and was actually in the. I'm like, this is weird stuff.
Well, and they were talking about the extras, and the people who were in the suits were just like bored, so they're having like drug-filled ragers
Yeah,
all
because they're
the
sitting around so long in the makeup with nothing to do because it's like
time.
an hour drive or whatever. So it is so nuts. But there's so much of that, and there's so many stories like that in this that these guys people are telling. There are some stories that are first time stories that you hear people say, "Oh, I've never said this before," about I didn't know. I guess I never put together the movie Lost Highway was such a play off the O.J. Simpson stuff. And then they talked about what movie was it? Was it Tales from the Hood?
Yeah,
Where the director said he had O.J.'s daughter
OJ's
in it?
daughter as a
Yeah.
stunt double who was getting beaten by
I'm
their husband.
like, whoa, this is
A little on the nose.
yeah, so weird. And but it's and it's I just love it. And I love how they talk about they say a lot of the things that we say. And that not we, you and I, but we as fans in general have often had discussions of the impact of Scream and how right
Yes.
movies after that were purposely trying to be met, trying to be meta, trying to do that. How Scream and some of those movies opened the door for younger fans and were suddenly drawing in these younger audiences. We've often talked about you and I, we about how such an overlooked period this often is that right you hear only about a handful of movies, but what about all these others? They talk about that, right? That oh hey, there's all these other movies that were really great movies and everything else. And it's just like they have these people that are involved and they're just having the discussions that us as fans have and talking about their work, and it's so absolutely amazing. And I also love how they went into the impact of the time because I trust me, I was alive then and knew the impact of the soundtracks
Yes.
and how right you would have the two soundtracks, right? You'd have the score and then you'd have the soundtracks were such a hot thing then because and they said it perfect. They literally said it's like a mixtape because you have all these bands from the time or you know, whatever it might be doing these things. I love that they pointed out how there's often these modern bands doing a cover of a big song because that was a big thing. And then some of the stories they talk about. I love how they talked about all this, right? They talked about effects. They talked about all these other things in the course of this, that you just you could number one, you can tell this is an absolute love letter to horror. And you can tell that this is what we as fans, if we had the means and we were doing this is what we would do. We would want it to be this all encompassing, and they've done
Yeah.
it. And it's marvelous. It is I cannot stress enough how if you are a horror fan, and I'm assuming if you're listening to us, you must be. Otherwise, I don't know what you're doing in your life. I cannot stress enough that you need to go seek these out. I highly advise you watch all five. But right now, obviously, this is the new one that is currently out there. So this is the fresh one that you know not very many people have seen. Literally just released the day before we're recording and releasing this. It was released on the 16th digitally. So it is literally just out there now, and they are just starting the sale that we spoke about earlier. So this is it. This is where we're at. Getting this out, you know, we obviously want to thank Creator VC and everything for the screener for reaching out to us and sending us this. You know, sending us, man, they got their shit together, man. They sent us the screener, they sent us a whole pack of graphics and stuff to use in our things. Man, I love how they're utilizing us as podcasters, us as the people out there, their influencers and content creators, knowing that that's where it's at right now. That's where you're. Where it is. So I appreciate that. We could sit here and we could talk about this thing for hours, just rehashing things and everything else and never get tired of it. And this is one of those things that these literally, we love the word rewatchability, right? We
Yeah.
talk about it all the time because that's to me, strong work is rewatchable. And which, first of all, 99% of the movies they talk about it, right, have some rewatchability in one way or another. Whether it's because it's great, because it's bad, because it's just campy, whatever it might be. But these documentaries have so much rewatchability. I mean, we just spent 6.5 hours watching these things recently. And I
Yes.
literally would not be afraid if I had the time and Monica was like, I'm gonna watch it. I would probably be right in there, sit there watching it with her again.
Yeah,
Because
absolutely.
I don't think you could probably take in and digest everything in this in one, maybe even two views. There's so much to take in, and so much information in it, Ike.
No, absolutely. And it is a marvel that they were able to do this in such a succinct way. You would not think that 6 hours is succinct is true, but with the amount of information that they're offloading in this, I mean, they're offloading half a decade's worth of movies, and perhaps one of the most explosive half a decades that we've seen in, years since the 80s. I mean, the 95 to 99 range was huge, and there was so much stuff. And I like you said, if I could convince Kayla to watch this, which I highly doubt she would, because man, she's not a fan of these long, 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 long documentaries. But if I could convince her to, I'd 100% be in there watching it, because, like you said, there's so much to this. There's so much content. There's all these little sort of little nods and Easter eggs and connections that you didn't really think about that are there. And we talked about the ones that really stuck out to us, right? But there are so many more. There's so many cool things in this that, like, I just did not know. I had no clue, no concept of. So absolutely, this is rewatchability, and like you said, multiple rewatches for me easily. It's beautiful. It is a masterpiece, and it's a truly a marvel of a documentary, and that's saying a lot. So I've watched my fair share of documentaries. But as far as horror documentaries go, this one really, I don't know, this one hit my niche. So I'm really excited that hopefully, I'm assuming these must be popular if they made this many. Hopefully we'll get a 2000s one, because I would be very curious to see that, because I'm sure there's a ton of 2000s movies that I've never seen or even heard of.
And I, oh yeah, I'm hoping, I my gut says they will continue on a little bit. Hopefully they do something, because they are doing great work. These things, I'm telling you, I don't care what level of a horror fan you are, these are great tools. If you're a longtime fan, you're still gonna pick out stuff in this, and you're still gonna probably hear things that you've never heard of, or the movies that you've forgotten about. If you're new to horror, and literally, what's someone who's new to horror, wanting to dive into horror, one of the most prominent questions is, well, where do I start? What do I watch? What do you suggest? Well, this will tell you, right? This will tell you what to watch. It tells you what the biggest releases are. It tells you, and the thing is, it's going to tell you the stuff that you're not going to get just from Googling, right? If you Google horror 1995, you're going to come out with a few some movies and whatever else, but this is going to tell you that next level down to watch deeper, and those are where horror fans really find their roots, because most of us, if not all of us, we right, we love the Screams, we love the Halloweens, we love this and that as franchises, obviously to varying degrees, but overall there's just this love for them. But you really find what you like. You really find. You hone in on where your passion for horror is when you go deeper and you watch these other movies. And some of the movies that I throw out there as my favorite horror movies, or even just my favorite movies, they're not always, or probably very rarely, are the big names that everybody hears of, right? They're the deeper cuts, because they hit people differently. So you got to go deep, right? There's the must watches, but then you got to go a little deeper. This is the best way to do it, the best way to explore that. Again, I mean, if there was ever something that would be billed as the quote unquote encyclopedia of horror, the probably the definitive collection, this is it. This is where you go. As the first one you've seen, I'm assuming it has sparked for you to want to go back and watch the others.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I love horror of all generations, all decades. And I do think that it was smart for me, this one, to be the first one I've seen, because I think this is probably the one that I have the most investment in. But now that they have my attention, it does make me want to go back and watch the other ones, because if this one part was able to provide me so much that I did not know happened in the 90s for horror, I cannot imagine what the other episodes have in store for me. So, absolutely, without a doubt, that definitely has, re-engaged that investment to say, hey, like, maybe I need to look at these and see what I'm missing, because clearly I'm missing a lot.
Yeah, and I can say, having seen them all, this has been the level of quality and research guests from the beginning. This has been absolutely from the get-go. They've not built up to this necessarily, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean they came out of the gates with this kind of level of quality in what they do, and it has maintained through the entire series. I mean, literally, if there's anybody that they could get, they've gotten them throughout, and it's just incredible. Guys, you got to go get it. You got to go watch it. You need to own it. This is something you just you don't fool around, right? Go now, like we said, to 90shorrordoc.com. Get the digital set. I would hell, you're only paying $7 more. You get them both. If you don't already have the other, get them both. But again, you can get the 95 through 99 for $27.99. The double pack that is also includes the 90 through 94 for $34.99. Don't forget to use the code HorrorFriends26 to get 20% more off at checkout. Get the others, get them all. I would advise you to invest and get the physical media because, again, we are strong proponents that physical media needs to be preserved and you need that so that you always have it. So get it. And I do know all of it, whether it's the digital, the physical media, whatever, there's lots of extras, lots of other things. I know when you get the digital, I think there's like digital posters or all these things. And do keep an eye on them because if they do further installments, they always do like Kickstarter type deals, whatever you want to call them, where you can back it. And when you go to back it, you get lots of cool things. They do shirts and everything. As you also could tell on the outro and in the credits of this, where they have so many fans, podcasters, influencers, all kinds of people. Did you watch all the way through the credits site?
Yeah, I was gonna say the credits were monumental.
Yes.
30 minutes of credits, but I mean it was worth it. I mean you had all these different people like us who were basically doing what we're doing, talking about their love of horror and of this episode of this series.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's a perk with the Kickstarter campaigns or whatever when they whatever it is. I don't know if it's Kickstarter specifically, but that kind of backing campaign. I think that's maybe one of the perks you can get.
Yeah.
If you back and invest, you get to send in your segment. And there's the obvious things, right? You invest to a certain level, you get the digital copies when they're released. I think if you invest to a certain level, you get a physical copy. I don't know. There's just all kinds of things. So keep an eye on them because if they do more, there's a chance to be more involved. We appreciate them, like I said, asking us to be involved and review this, sending us a screener link. I think it's definitely something that if we watch the next installment, I think we need to be more involved. I think we need to be. I think Listen to the Screams needs to be in the credits of whatever the next segment is.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Again, guys, thanks for listening. This is just a bonus episode just to cover this because it is so incredibly monumental that it's worthy of a bonus episode. But our next normal episode will be coming up on our usual day, and it will be us reviewing the movie 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. So go watch that in theaters. Once again, thank you to our wives, our listeners, and our followers for all your support and help. Once again, thank you to Creator VC for thinking of us and including us in this process of releasing this and reviewing it. Be sure to subscribe to us, guys, on social media. We're on all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Screams. That's where we share everything, all the news, birthdays, stuff like this, our releases, everything's on there. Ike, before we close out, is there anything you want to add into this episode?
Honestly, the only thing else I want to add, and I guess I didn't realize this person's influence in like the early and late 90s, well, mostly late 90s, but Paul W.S. Anderson, okay? Like, I knew him from like the Resident Evil movies, but, and I guess I never put this two and two together. One of my favorite bad movies is the Mortal Kombat movie from 1995, which they do
Oh,
talk
yeah.
about in the movie because they talked about like the soundtrack. Well, he directed also Event Horizon, which is also a fantastic movie, super amazing. But then he then went on to do things like Resident Evil, Alien versus Predator, and so forth. But yeah, I had no idea that he was who did Mortal Kombat. I never put it together because he went by Paul Anderson at that time, and that WS is what always makes me remember him. But yeah, that was something I was going to mention is that Paul W.S. Anderson had a pretty big role to play in the 90s with all these movies, I guess.
That's right. That's right. And it's again so much information like that in there.
Yeah.
And there's like that. There's going to be stuff that's going to hit people differently based on their experiences, right? It hits you because of the Resident Evil stuff, and spark that for you. And it's going to be like that differently for different people. based on what your passions, interests, and hobbies are outside of this. Because lots of people in this, whether it be an actor, whether it be a writer, a producer, a director, whatever it might be, and lots of them that they talked to in this went on to do much, quote unquote, bigger, more widely prominent things. But they all really seem to still express the love of their time in horror. Most of them even said that, man, they're more than willing. I mean, Lou Diamond Phillips flat out said, "Let's do another Bats movie." He wants to do it. So, and he seemed just a little irritated that they had done a Bats 2 and didn't call him.
Yeah, they didn't call me.
so much fun. So again, guys, all that kind of stuff, stories like that are out there from the proverbial horses' mouths of the people that were there themselves. So don't hear it secondhand from us. Go watch it and hear it from them yourselves. Guys, thank you for tuning into this. Go check out In Search of Darkness, 1995 to 1999, a journey back into iconic 90s horror. But until our next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.